Hello, patrons, and welcome to Digi Does Life, the podcast where I talk about my ideas about life and livelihood and what it means to live in the world. It's been a while since I did one of these. I realize that for you guys, it's always just been 2 weeks since the last one, but like, I had recorded most of my October shit pretty early into the month, and I'm recording this one on like November, what is it, the 4th at 1 a.m.? So, you know, it's much more timely. I want to talk about experimentation, something that I do a hell of a lot of, that I'm always in the process of, that a lot of which happens behind the scenes, some of it happens in front of the camera, you guys are witness to a lot of it, you guys help with a lot of it. In fact, I would say that my patrons specifically are like the biggest help in my experimentation, not only in that your patronage allows me the space to experiment and to try new things, but also because the way you guys react to the things I do is how I know what's working and what's not, you know? I mean, there's also stuff like view counts, there's stuff like comments, but like, ultimately, the patrons are the ones who understand my intentions the most, who understand like what exactly I'm trying to do, and can give me better feedback in that regard. Like, I can easily say for myself whether or not I am succeeding at doing a thing, like, on a, like, in terms of will this grab a large audience, that's just in the view count. But, like, in terms of am I actually accomplishing what I'm setting out to do, patrons tend to understand what I'm setting out to do the best. So you guys are a huge help. And I'm not just talking about experimentation in my career, I'm also talking about just in my life, the way I do things. I tend to constantly be trying to just come up with some new way of doing a thing I've already done, or see if some new idea will like change the way that my life works, you know, and if it is for better or for worse, and then keep doing the things that work and get rid of the things that don't work, you know. There was a time where standing in front of a camera talking was experimental for me, you know, like for a very long time that I was doing internet videos, I was not doing vlogs because I thought I was really bad at them. Like, I was awkward on camera. I was a lot more awkward on scripted. It was just difficult for me to talk about, you know, something without pausing constantly, saying even more than I currently do. I always nitpicked my appearance on videos, and the early videos where I was on camera, it was usually just because I didn't know what footage to put to something, you know? Like, I'd film something in front of a camera that was scripted, where I'd try to, like, read off of a script, or try to memorize parts of a script, neither of which I was ever really good at. And then the early days of me doing more vloggy content, like unscripted stuff, it was way more highly edited. Like, every single gap in what I'm saying is cut out. And I spend a lot more time, like, thinking in between sentences and stuff like that. And just enough practice at talking unscripted and then getting comfortable with being in front of a camera, realizing it didn't really matter what I looked like because some people were going to watch it, you know. Basically just not expecting the vlogs to ever be as big as a main channel video, but, like, that there was a value in having them anyways. You know, as I got better at them, they became one of the main things I do, and now I've got vlogs coming out all the fucking time, and I've got podcasts coming out all the fucking time, and these are both things that I didn't think I was particularly good at before, and now I think I'm a lot better. But you can see that that experiment changed everything. Like, now I vlog so often that, like, the idea of me as a guy who doesn't vlog just isn't, it doesn't exist anymore. And it always kind of intrigues me when I realize that there's most, like, content creators don't vlog. I was actually really struck by how uncomfortable Giguk was in front of a camera at Crunchyroll Expo. Like, it had never occurred to me that Giguk's not a vlogger, that he's someone who's only ever done written content. You know, he does fully scripted videos, and if you ever talk to him and, like, any kind of live stream or anything like that, he's really quiet. He doesn't usually chime in much unless he's asked a question. And it just somehow never occurred to me that that would be because he just doesn't know what to say. Like, he doesn't know how to be unscripted and be entertaining because he's not practiced at it. You know, I think he's probably a lot better at it than he realizes. He's got a good, he's got a good ability to use physical comedy to, like, get himself in there. He's good looking, you know, he's good in front of a camera. He just isn't used to it. And I'm super used to it. So even though I'm, like, this fucking garbage pail walking around, you know, this, like, this human who doesn't look fit for being in society, I nonetheless can act in front of a crowd because I've gotten so used to it. I mean, the first couple of panels I did at conventions, I was super fucking nervous, you know, like literally shaking the whole way through the panel because I was so nervous to talk in front of a crowd of people. But they went really well. And like every panel I've ever done has been extremely well received, no matter what kind of thing it was, you know. So after enough of that, I start to realize, okay, well, panels are something I'm good at. So yeah, I should definitely do more of them. And like I got comfortable, you know, eventually I got, I mean, usually I drink, but I got to where I was comfortable being in front of a crowd. And they always go well. You know, and the vlogs usually go well. Sometimes I don't present my idea that well, and people don't understand it completely. But nonetheless, and there's clarifications needed. But still, like, you know, there was once a time where I was not a guy who got in front of a camera and recorded something off the top of my head. And now that is, like, the main thing I do all the time, you know, which is just kind of bonkers to think about. And, like, if I stopped, it would be... like, that would be a major thing about what people come to me for. Like, a lot of people only know me as a guy who's always done that. You know, a lot of you guys probably were not around before I was a guy who puts out vlogs every day. Like, that's part of how you understand me, you know? I mean, it's who I am now, but it wasn't always. So, if you go back through my history, you'll find that I was always doing this kind of, like, rampant, insane experimentation. And a lot of it's really just small differences, different permutations on the same kinds of ideas, you know? Like, you can find a core of, like, anime analysis across, like, the hugest swath of all the stuff I've ever done. But the form and format of that is changing all the time. And different ideas for, like, series, things that should stand, you know, stand up for a while. And then I, like, see if it works, and if it doesn't, I scrap it or I change it. I make it something different, you know? And, they all come out over however long it takes me to make them. And so that's why you see so many series that spring up and then disappear or, you know, change by the time they come out again massively. And but then some of them keep going forever, you know? Like, my ability to do long-form anime analysis is unquestionable. Like, that's the thing I probably do the best, and I've been doing it for a long time. But it's also something that is difficult to always have ideas for. It's difficult to manage it as a career because, you know, I have to put out a certain amount of content, really, to keep people's attention. The human content machine thing, though, has loosened that up a lot. Like, now I can do one main channel video in a month and just put out other stuff throughout the month. And, like, I've gotten into a weird mindset since I've been doing the scheduling stuff that I'm always bragging about and talking about how great my schedules are. The problem with the schedules, though, is that it gets me into the mindset that I have to do, like, these shows. Like, these shows that come out every week. And then at some point, I end up realizing, wait, I don't have to do that, you know, like, oh, this can change, or maybe this one needs to be cut and switched around, you know, and like, so that's why shows are constantly getting canceled and changed and stuff like that. I'm looking at my November calendar right now, and let me tell you about all the different stuff here. So there was a big experiment this month that I came up with last month of what if I put out videos about my office every day throughout November? Like just a video about each piece of equipment I use, and we'll see how people react to that and if anybody cares, and like, you know, we'll go from there. And I recorded 5 of them in a row on the same day, scheduled them all. And now that they've started coming out, I don't know if I care enough. Like I might do more of them. But, like, I feel like I covered the few things I was the most interested in talking about, and now I'm looking around at my room going, like, I guess I could find stuff to say about that, but, like, do I actually care enough to make a video every day throughout November? I don't know. It's an experiment, you know, and it lets me know if I can do that type of content in the future, but, like, does this one have to go throughout November? Is that actually important? Because nobody asked for it, you know, it's just me throwing darts at a wall. Now, if the response to it had been, like, overwhelmingly, dude, this is great, you need to do a ton of these, then I'd be, like, sold, and I'd do them all month, you know? But the reaction is mostly, like, this is a thing, you know? Like, well, I'm watching a guy review his furniture, I mean, I guess he's doing a good job, but, you know, like, do I even give a fuck? So, you know, there's that. we've got the Pokemon Journey podcasts, and May and I wrapped on what will be the last of those. There's going to be 7 total, because the 6th and 7th Pokemon movies are absolute dumpster fires, and I think I had been under the impression that the 7th was supposed to be good, and that there would be other films that were, like, at least at the level of, like, Pokemon 3. I was wrong. Like, they're dog shit, and it's not, like... Episode 7 is fun, but it was that kind of thing where it was like, okay, if we keep doing this, we're just going to be doing the same review of the same movie over and over again. So this is not interesting anymore. So now, Episode 7, it's done. Pokemon Journey is done. However, there's still 2 weeks from the time of this recording before people will know that. People will not know that Pokemon Journey is done until way later. And so, like, I'm doing all this experimentation behind the scenes that nobody's going to see until later. And that's always it's an interesting kind of disconnect, because on the one hand, it frees me up that I can experiment and figure out what the next thing's going to be. You know, I've got 2 weeks before I have to replace Pokemon Journey, which I was thinking of just replacing it with me and May doing anime film reviews, because we watch a lot of anime movies together. Why not review some of them if we have something to say, you know? Or just not replace it at all, because I don't have to have a video every fucking day. You know, I don't have to have a full fucking podcast every day of the week. So maybe it just doesn't need to exist. And me and May can just focus on finish or fail, you know? Like, these are all questions that are up in the air now that Pokemon Journey has been canned, you know? Meanwhile, so the next up is Game Boys. Game Boys is changing because... Hippo and I had recorded, the idea of Game Boys was we could record a whole bunch of them, stockpile them, and then start their release in early October. Like, we started recording Game Boys early into September. Good lord, it's been fucking that long. Like, that's insanity. Because we had recorded, I know we had recorded all the October episodes before October started, and it took us most of September to do that. And then, like, we kind of ended up, like, waiting a really long time in between the episodes 5 and 6. Like a long time before episode 5, a long time before episode 6. So, because we weren't that enthusiastic about doing it, you know, it's an okay podcast. I'm glad we did it, but, like, its main purpose was just to see if it would work, you know, to see if we could do a gaming podcast. And, like, that was just kind of the first idea we had, and we decided to run with it. And, like, in terms of how much time is actually spent on that experiment, you know, it's just we had the idea, we rolled with it, we recorded for a couple hours every week or so, you know, and then it gets released way later. But, like, once it starts releasing, now it's like, okay, this is a series we're doing, you know, and then it's only now that we have another idea that we want to do instead, that it's like, okay, well, now that series is canceled, you know, like, now that is not a thing anymore, and people won't know that for a couple more weeks, you know. Again, it's just as weird, it's like a time displacement between me and the audience, where I know the experiments that are going on. You know, Old Ass Albums Cast, I'm kind of, even that, I'm a little iffy on continuing, because it's a weird series. It's very strange to have to do, because it, like, requires me to listen back to the albums and find something to say about them, and there's not that many different unique things to say about, like, my history with the albums. It mostly is just an album review show, and that was not intentional. Like, that's just how it came out. Like, trying to figure out what to say about these albums has led me to, like, yeah, just end up, like, reviewing them track by track. It's an alright series, but it makes me think about, like what I got out of it more so than, like, feeling like, oh, this is a great series of podcasts, is, okay, this is what happens if I try to talk about music this way, you know? So now I know that, and I can evolve the podcasts from there. Because I've been thinking about doing, like, album reviews, just, you know, just regular album reviews, and I think I know what that would look like now that I've been doing the Old-Ass Album Cast, you know? So that's also been an interesting little piece of experimentation. And then what inspired this podcast is that tonight, May and I recorded an anime commentary. And it was just because I've been planning to start doing anime commentaries. I wanted to try it. I did the K-On! One. It seemed to go over well. And people were saying I should probably do movies, which I agree with. But the reason I picked K-On! For the experimental one is that I'd seen that episode a lot of times. And I knew it like the back of my hand. And to me, like, if you're going to do a commentary, I feel like it only really has value if it's either funny or really informative. You know, like, just me saying whatever and, like, speculating and stuff about an anime is not really gonna give you that much. Like, it might be entertaining to throw on for 20 minutes, but, you know, unless I can tell you something you probably didn't notice or didn't know, like, some kind of extra facts, which is why, like, director commentaries are so interesting, because they tell you things you couldn't have known just from watching the movie. You know, unless I'm going to do that, I have to be funny. And if I'm not doing either of those things, then, like, what's the point? And then I also was thinking about doing commentaries with May, because she and I watch, like, basically what we do to hang out is we get stoned and watch anime movies. And mostly we've been watching lots of stuff in the 70s and 80s. And, you know, some of that stuff, it's often very slow, and it's always fucking weird, so we usually end up commenting over it anyways. Like, we are always discussing the movies, and usually these conversations seem, at least to me, in my drug-addled mind, really funny. So I'm always like, man, I wish we had recorded that. Like, I wish we had our reactions to this on recording, you know? So I proposed to her, like, what if we sometimes recorded that and released it? So we recorded our reactions to this Guyver movie that we watched, you know, apropos of nothing. And, yeah, we did a whole commentary and I released it on Patreon just because I was like, I want to see if anybody watches this, how will they react? You know, like, what will be, does this have a place in people's lives? Is this something that people want, or is this just an experiment gone wrong? You know, like, is this something I want? Because I listened to it back without the movie, and it definitely doesn't really work without the movie, because it's very responsive, and some of the conversation trains, you know, seemed more interesting when we were saying them than they were in the actual recording. But I don't know, maybe some people like the feeling of, like, watching a movie with some people, you know, watching it with some friends, especially if it's a first-time viewing. Like, for me, it was, you know, listening to it back is not the same because it wasn't the first time hearing this stuff, and I just, you know, recorded it a couple hours earlier, so it's not like these were fresh ideas hitting my mind, but, you know, I just want to see the response and know, is this something to pursue? Is this something that I want to be something me and May do all the time, like we do with, you know, with some of our other stuff? I love Digi and May do. Like, our Let's Plays have been, like, again, we're an experiment. The first one was just like, what if we did this, what if we just did Digi Bros with you and I? You know, let's just see how it goes. And it went really well. You know, like, the Wario World one I fucking loved. I've loved all of them. The Digi and May Do has been, like, one of my favorite series to do, you know? And then Experiment, let's put her in a Finish or Fail, see what happens there. I think that's gone over pretty well, too, and she's gotten really good at it, you know? So, and Finish or Fail is, like, the ultimate experiment gone right. Like, that is probably the series that has the most staying power out of, like, anything I'm doing right now, where, you know, I'll make up a show like Cool Character Designs or something, and I just feel like it's not that deep. You know, like, Cool Character Designs is a fun series of videos highlighting some cool aspects of some shows with good character designs, but I don't feel like I have the chops to go into enough depth with it, you know, that I'm really saying something all that interesting. And there's only so many shows that I even have, like, a prepared idea of why I think the character designs are cool, you know? So, like, beyond that, how long can I sustain that show? So, yeah, it's a good experimental idea. I don't know how applicable it is for me to keep doing forever. But something like Finish or Fail has such a clear formula, and it works so well with the way I watch anime. You know, the way that I drop shows really fast, the way that I, like, back-to-back marathon shows and stuff like that, and the fact that, you know, I have such a huge variety of reactions to shows that, like, it's not just, like, a review, like, is it good, is it bad? It's always, like, some really specific detail about the show that I comment on, and that's what keeps it entertaining for me, is that, like, I almost never have the exact same thing to say about, you know, three different shows in the same video. So, like, Finish or Fail has amazing staying power. It's one of my favorite shows to do, and one of the audience's favorite shows to watch. So, like, this is why experimentation is so powerful. Because when you hit something like that, it's just like the Thomas Edison thing. They say that he took, like, hundreds or whatever of different materials and he was trying to build the light bulb until he found the one that worked. That's what I'm doing with all this content. It's just, like, trying every material, and if the light bulb comes on, we work with that material, you know? And Finish or Fail is an absolute case where the light bulb came on, and that show should go forever. You know, like, out of everything on my list, I'm like, this is the one that needs to be a weekly show for the rest of my life, you know, which I am planning to make it that, like, and it's not just going to be seasonal anime, because that's just one permutation of it. You know, that can always be a thing, but eventually I will try to expand it to incorporate other stuff, you know, and I think that'll be a very interesting way to go forward with that series. You know, the Procrastinators podcast, when I'm on it, is also another, like, obviously works. Like, just the idea of having this cast of friends who, whatever assortment of them happens to be available, is on the episode, you know, covering any imaginable topic. It's like, that can go on forever, and it'll always work. But then you've got other stuff that I don't know about. Here's a new series that's gonna start tomorrow, as of the release of this podcast, is Animag Weekly, a show where I go through anime magazines, find all the interesting stuff that's in them, and talk about it. So I'll pick, like, literally one issue of a magazine and break down everything I found inside of it that's cool. Now, I did episode one based on an issue of Protoculture Addicts, and I had read another Protoculture Addicts that I also had, like, enough to say about for a video, but then I've been reading other anime magazines, and a lot of them I really don't. Like, there's a lot of magazines where I'll read a whole thing and maybe pick out, like, one little piece of intrigue, you know? So, like, I don't know how long Animag Weekly will work. It'll only be interesting for as long as I can find magazines that I have something to say about, which, it really depends on the magazine. Like, I've been reading Animerica, and that doesn't have much intrigue in it. I know New Type USA does. Like, New Type always has some really fucking weird, fascinating articles in it. So, I'll be looking forward to getting into that one. But, and Protoculture Addicts is really fascinating because it's like a fanzine, and it's very, like, fan-driven and indicates a lot about the time period, and that's why I like doing it. But, yeah, you know, that's just one more experiment to throw onto the pile. And, I think it's really interesting to watch. I'm, like, staring at my schedule for the month and just thinking about how, like, half of what's on here could be changed or, you know, just canceled entirely. And it doesn't even matter because I put out so much content. It doesn't really matter what the content is, you know? Like, most of this stuff is all kind of got the same, like, a lot of it has the same audience, you know, or I have so much stuff that there's no way that if I canceled one thing, that was the only thing you were watching, you know? So, like, I'm just constantly throwing more darts at the wall. Let's see what sticks. Finish or Fail has stuck in a big way. Like, those pull better view counts than anything else I'm releasing, and they're sustainable. It's a very sustainable show, you know? So, yeah, that one will probably keep going. But everything else is, like, who knows, man? Who knows if Anime Commentary, which I have scheduled for every Monday, will even be a thing? Because I haven't recorded one yet, and I haven't had a good idea for one yet. And, like, I don't know, I put it on the list because it seemed like something I'd want to do. But, like, actually, if I just end up forcing an idea, then I don't know. You know, I've got some other shows on here that, like, I planned that I don't even know if they'll eventuate this month. So, yeah. Experimentation. Always gotta be up in the air. Let's move on to something else. I've been talking about that for a hella time. Related to experimentation. So why am I doing so much experimentation? Like, this is something I think about sometimes, is that I seem to be living well. I seem to have, like, the money that I need, the career that I want, you know, everything's going fine. Why am I constantly trying to make it even better? Because if I wanted to, I could easily just make it so, like, I do my main channel content and I do, like, just do the videos that I know people want, which is my current plan for the main channel, is just do the videos that everybody wants, including myself, like, the big long ones, you know? So that's fine. That's sorted out. The main channel is sorted, you know? So if that's going on over there, what do I need on After Dark? We get Finish or Fail. Let's do that every week. Okay, solid. Just Finish or Fail and a main channel video. That is, like, a lot of regular content, you know? Then I can just make on top of that whatever random thing. Maybe there's a Let's Play, maybe there's a vlog, maybe whatever. Like, this is what I was doing last year. You know, it was just random. There was no rhyme or reason to the stuff I was putting out on After Dark. You know, it's only recently that I got into this idea of, like, oh, let's schedule everything way ahead of time. But, you know, what is scheduled is highly subject to change. But, like, point being, I don't have to have 7 podcast shows running. So why am I doing that? Why am I experimenting so hard if I don't have to? And it's because I can always envision what I could do with more. Like, that's something that keeps me going and striving for higher levels. Yes, I am happy with my life at present, but I have an image in my head of what a certain dollar amount allows me to do more, you know? Or, like, what greater heights my art can achieve. You know, like, what greater usage of my time and my voice and my unique capabilities might exist out there? I don't know. You know, maybe, like, I can look at commentaries and go, oh, that seems like something that I'd be great at, you know? And what if that turns out to be something people really love from me? But if it's not, then it's not, you know? There's only one way to find out, and that's to do it. So I always want to keep experimenting and figuring out, like, what is the art that people are really going to value from me, that I'm really going to value doing, and also what might make me more money, you know? And to talk about some of the visions I have of, like, what would life be like with lots of money. I just want to be able to do whatever I want at the drop of a hat, you know? Like, that's kind of my goal. Is, like, if I'm in a place and there's a thing to do, I want to be able to do that thing. I want to be able to say, like, let's say I go to a fancy restaurant, right? Like I notice I'm in town. Let's say I'm let's say that me and May went to a movie downtown in the heart of Rochester, and next to the theater is an expensive restaurant. First of all, I want to, without hesitation, be like, let's go to that restaurant, because I want to know what it's like. I want to know what this fancy restaurant's like. I want it to be so that I don't say, that place seems expensive, let's go to the one next door. I want to go, like, no, let's go to the one that I'm curious about, you know? And then, when I'm in there, I want to look at their menu and see that they have a house wine. You know, a bottle of wine for $28. That's their house wine. They're special, that they highly recommend. And I want to be able to say, give me that wine, without thinking about what that means. Not to say that I wouldn't even do this now. Every once in a while I will. I'll fliff, you know? And that's how you're supposed to do this. You're supposed to fliff. But when you're someone like me who just craves more experiences, who craves being able to do everything and just cram every house wine down my throat, I want to be there every night, you know, ordering everything on the menu. I want to try all of it, you know, all of what they've got to offer. And I want to go there, and I want to get the house wine. And the only reason I usually don't when we go out, because me and May do go out all the time, and the only reason I never order the wine is because I have to drive home. I want to have someone drive me home. Either that means I've got the money to Uber everywhere, or it means I have a paid driver, you know? I'm talking about a far-flung fantasy here. I'm not talking about this is what I do next year on YouTube revenue, you know? Like, this is me talking about how if I figure out the ultimate gimmick, like, if I figure out what is the thing that will charge me to the top of the charts, you know, what is going to make me a big famous man. I'm not counting on this to happen, but I'd like this to happen. Is for me to have the kind of money, the Uber everywhere money, you know, the hired driver money. Now, I'm big into delegation, and I'm also into, like, dedicated staff. You notice I only have one editor. It's the DeVu. I have the DeVu because he works really fast. He knows exactly what I'm looking for. And he loves my content, so he'll keep doing it, you know? And, like, and he works, like, for, like, his living wage. All he cares is that it's a living wage, essentially. You know, like, he does a lot of work for the amount of money he gets. And I don't know if he could get paid more by somebody else, but I'm paying him as much as I basically can. You know, as much as I can justify. And it's enough for him, so he's still working for me, you know? and that's me wholesale employing someone. That's not, DeVoo doesn't have any other revenue source. You know, he's not a guy who is just like doing this in his spare time. I am paying his whole living wage. And I like that. I really like that idea of having dedicated people. When I lived in the Philippines for a month with my friend Ghost Lightning, when I was living in his house, they had their family, because he lived with his wife's parents. Like, they were in the same house as his wife's parents, because in, you know, Asian countries, you usually have, like, a bigger family in your house. You don't move out of your parents' house so easily. So he lived with his wife and her parents, and they're a pretty well-off family. His wife worked for the his wife's mom worked for the government, and you know, his wife was a lawyer. He was doing all kinds of shit. So like they're a decently well-off family, but like his wife's uncle, I think that's who he was. He was someone related to the family, was just employed by the family to drive them around. Like they just had this guy in a car, and he would just. If they wanted to go somewhere, he would drive them there, and then he would go find somewhere to park the car, and then he'd just kind of wait around for them to be done, and then come back and pick them up, you know? And basically, he just did this in exchange for a living wage. Like, they pay this guy, they take care of it, he lives at home, you know, he lives there, he's taken care of, because he drives the family around, because they need someone to do that. They're all, like, they can't afford to have, like, it's less expensive than all of them having cars, you know? They live in a really huge metro area, and they have to get around all over the city all the time, you know? Like, so why not just have a guy who is just dedicated to that? That is that guy's career, is to just drive this family around. And that's not even weird or unreasonable if you could afford it. And I want to be able to afford that. I want to be able to afford to just wholesale be the boss of, like, people who just do a thing for me. I don't have to be their only guy. I don't have to be their sole employer, you know, if it's something that they can afford to do for multiple people, you know? Like, I would encourage the DeVoo, like, I don't necessarily rely on him to be able to edit as much as he does. Like, he could edit less for me and get paid less, and it wouldn't hurt me. It would only hurt him. If DeVoo told me, oh, I'm going to edit for you and another guy, and each of you can pay half my living wage, I'd be fine with that, you know? But, like, it's just a situation we're in right now where, you know, he's just working for one guy. But, like, if I had to pay off a whole living wage to somebody, like, that's fine. I just want to be able to hire people to do things, because I love delegation, because there's things I'm fucking bad at. I've got this fucking letter in front of me from a doctor saying that I owe $18 to something, and, like, it had a pay online thing, but the fucking website was too confusing, and I gave up, and I was like, when am I ever going to pay this? Like, when will I ever enclose this in an envelope, figure out how to write a check or whatever the fuck I have to do to pay this and send it? Like, I still have, I got a fucking mail in, like, September from the IRS saying I still owe them $1,000, and that there would be, like, a 4% interest rate, and I need to get them this $1,000 or whatever. And I didn't know why. Like, there's no information about why I still owe them the money. So I just haven't done it. Like, I just haven't sent the money because I wanted to call them, but I haven't. And, like, I should be someone should be doing this for me. I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to account, you know? Every year when I have to do my taxes, I have to foolishly go back through my bank statements and try to, like, calculate what this, first of all, figure out what the hell these expenditures are, because they don't say what they are. You know, they just say where the expense was made. I don't know where I spent this money. I can't figure out what is write-offable or not. Like, I just want to be able to pay a guy to just check my emails and talk to my fucking sponsors and whoever, and fucking talk to my fucking bank and all these people, the fucking IRS, and just pay this stuff for me. You know, just take my money and give it to these people. That's your job. You transport my money to the people who need it, because I can't fucking do this shit, you know? And I need someone to do that for me. But I can't afford the cost of that right now, like, without it impacting my life. Like, I want to be able to live my life to the fullest while also being able to pay these people and also still saving money. You know, like, I could probably afford an accountant and still live the way I do, but I would be, you know, spending all the money I make as opposed to saving a huge amount of it as I have been doing. So, you know, like, I just want to be able to do that. And that's what keeps me experimenting. That's what keeps me shooting for the next big thing. Keeps me going like, oh, yeah, life is great right now. Life is fucking amazing right now. But imagine what I could do if I could just Uber everywhere. Imagine what I could do if I could, if I had, like, imagine if I was so rich I had a fucking private jet, you know, and I could fly across country whenever I fucking felt like it. Or if I just, you know, just all these little things. The fuck off money. I want the fuck off money, you know? I don't even know why. I don't even know if it'll be fun. Like, and all of that is just so I can experiment more. It's all just so I can experiment with what's it like to do those things. Like, I hate flying, so I wouldn't be surprised if, like, I fly to a few countries and then I go, all right, well, I'm not that into this. Like, you know, I like being in the countries, but the flying sucks. You know, if I had enough money, I can figure out what I'm passionate about. I can figure it out just by experimenting, doing everything there is in the world, you know? I'm also big into experimenting with, like, mind state, which is why I'm so, you know, adamant about, like, just going headlong into drugs and stuff, like, smoking so much pot so I can figure out what benefits it has, like, what is better when high, what is worse when high, what is better when drunk, what's worse when drunk, what's better on, we haven't taken them yet, but May's connections, got us some, I don't want to say anybody's, like, I don't want to say who's responsible for getting it, you know, but let's just say that two Adderall pills have spawned in my house, and because both of us are, like, kind of, like, autistic ADHD people, we're really curious about what it'll do to us. So, you know, and I just want to know so that if it, if I take this pill, and then I'm like, oh, fuck, this is how I'm supposed to be thinking, like, I should feel this way all the time, then maybe I can go and, you know, go to a doctor and get prescribed. Like, if I take it and I think, oh, this is the state of mind, I'm like, this will save my life, you know, how will I know unless I do it? You know, how would I have known if pot was going to be a good or a bad thing until I tried it, you know? So that's why I always want to experiment, you know? You'll never know what your favorite food is if you haven't tasted it, you know? And it might turn out your favorite food is some fucking weird shit that you never expected or never even heard of. Or it might suck, which you'll hear about in the next 2 weeks review. A time where I experimented with food and it went horribly, horribly wrong will show up in the next 2 weeks review. I'm sure you guys will enjoy that story. It's not a long story, but it's a great story. All right, one more thing I want to talk about in here is experiences versus owning things. So this is a big thing. If you research like psychology and shit, you'll hear about how, oh, that's like such a broad category. I just research psychology in general, and you'll eventually come to this very specific idea that you should spend your money on experiences as opposed to things, because having things will not bring you as much happiness as remembering an experience. And I think this is absolutely true, and it's something I never would have understood growing up. Like, as a kid, I was all about owning things because I thought of those as permanent. Like, I bought anime DVDs because I want to have this thing forever. I'll always be able to revisit it. I'll always be able to enjoy it, you know? But I would never spend my money on experiences. But now that I've sort of changed that, I understand completely. Because first of all, most of the things you own, you will not care about forever. You know, like, a lot of the DVDs and shit I have, I've never really cared about. I keep looking at it and go, oh, like, it's just a reminder of the money I wasted on it, you know? Or, like, I don't know, like, I don't watch DVDs at all anymore. It's a dead medium, essentially. You know, like, now I do everything digital, so, like, why do I even fucking have them? Like, there's lots of stuff like that. Some stuff I want to own because I want to experience it again, you know, and that is the experience. Like, playing a video game is an experience. It's less about owning a video game and more about getting to participate in an experience, you know? And, like, that's what I remember. I remember the games. I don't remember the box it came in. You know, I don't remember having the object. And that's why, like, digital games are so successful now, is that they're just selling you the experience, essentially. And, I mean, yeah, you can keep the game forever, but, like, in your you know, digital thing. But that's not what matters as much. You want it forever so you'll get to play it again. You don't want it so that you have it on a shelf, you know? And, yeah, now I have so much more fun going out and doing something, and, like, it's with me for eternity. Like, we went out and did that fondue trip on my birthday, you know, and, like, it was really expensive to eat fondue, and, like, if I was a kid, this never even crossed my mind because I'm not a kid, but if I had been a kid, I would have seen that as, that is, like, I think we spent, like, $100 there, and I would have seen that as, that would be a whole anime box set. Like, that is a whole 6-DVD box set. You know, but while if I bought XL Saga on DVD in 2002, maybe I would have enjoyed it at the time, but 5 years later, I don't even like the show. And now I've just got this box sitting around that I don't care about, that I have to lug with me as I travel the whole world forever. You know, these giant stacks of DVDs that I've got. But that trip to the fondue place will always be a pleasant memory, you know? Like, even if, like, everything went wrong with me and May, or she died or something, like, and it was, like, depressing to even think about her, like, that would still be a happy memory. Like, that nothing can change the fact that on that day I was happy, you know, that on that day I had fun and I got a great story out of it and I made a podcast about it that was funny, you know, like, and May got to listen to that podcast. And, you know, sometimes I record stuff more, like, that's almost just for, like, one person. I won't even just say makes it. It can be other people sometimes, too. But, like, you know, that fondue story, like, the most justification I got for it is that she listened to it and loved it, you know? So, you know, shouts out to May. She listens to these Patreon podcasts as well. But, you know, I'm glad I got to experience that. And I don't think having a Blu-ray box set would have been better, especially of an anime where I can just watch it online now anyways. Like, I don't revisit my DVDs at all. And, like, all the toys I have, like, all the crap I own, you know, most of it doesn't impress me anymore. Like, you get sick of it. You've seen it 1,000 times. It loses its luster because it's constantly being re-examined, as opposed to not being able to be. Like, I can never re-examine that fondue trip. Like, it is what it is. The memory is set in stone. I can't, like, just go back and alter it, you know? I would never be able to trick myself into thinking I wasn't happy that day, you know? Because I totally was. But, like, with anime, I can look back at it and be like, oh, I spent too much money on this. Or, like, oh, it's not as cool as I thought it was back then, you know? So that's why I would encourage people, you should go out and experience things, you know, or spend your money on experiences instead of products. Like, and if your way of paying for an experience is to buy something, like, again, it used to be that you bought a DVD because you couldn't watch a show otherwise, you know, Blockbuster had barely shit for rental, and it just made more sense to buy stuff because you couldn't find it otherwise. But, like, now that that's not the case, this is why I have such a huge problem with, like, the idea of purchasing anime. Like, I want to give money to the industry so that they can give me the experience of watching anime, not so that I can purchase a piece of plastic that I'm stuck with that I don't need because the anime is online, you know? I'll pay for watching it online if I have to pay for it to have the experience, you know, through a legal channel that supports the industry, but I don't want to buy a Blu-ray. You know, but this is a rant I've had too many times now. I feel like I've been on this all year. So, enough about that. That's it for this podcast. Experiment, get out there and try something different. That's going to be my constant recommendation to everybody for all time. It's something I've been preaching for a very long time. You know, expand your tastes. Your tastes should always be evolving. Go watch my video called that if you want to hear more on the subject. But yeah, that's it for this episode. See you next week with the 2 weeks review.